Welcome to Everyone Loves Guitar, where we sit down and talk with interesting professional guitar players, uncover their stories, and discover what makes them tick. If you love guitar, music, and the backstory of people's lives, stick around. You're in the right place. For information about advertising on Everyone Loves Guitar, including information on geographically targeted ads, go to everyonelovesguitar.com/advertise. That's everyonelovesguitar.com/advertise. Hey, everybody. This is Craig Garber. Welcome to Everyone Loves Guitar. We are with LA badass session player Andrew Sinewick. He was on the show last year. Andrew's a great guy, super interesting story, and he just came out with his second album, and I wanted to turn you guys all on to it. So let me tell you a little bit about his background. He is a multi-instrumentalist LA session player. He has credits like the blockbuster film Frozen, also played on Michael Bublé's number one album, To Be Loved, countless commercial and indie projects. He's got a massive collection of over 80 stringed instruments, and he's recorded for artists ranging from Barbra Streisand to Rob Zombie, and producers from Bob Rock to David Foster. Did you work on Streisand's last record with John Shanks?
I'm not sure. The one I did was like movie songs or something. I don't even remember the name of it. Let me see if I can find it.
It was like a couple of years ago, right?
Yeah, it would have been maybe 2 or 3 years ago.
Okay, yeah, he just did another one with her. And he's contributed to albums selling over 10 million copies worldwide and more than 25 Grammy-nominated recordings. He also has his own Grammy Award as a member of the acclaimed LA big band called Gordon Goodwin's Big Fat Band. That's P-H-A-T. He's performed live all over the world, anywhere from Madison Square Garden to the Blue Note in Tokyo. In 2014, he built his own private recording studio called the House of Sin, which was designed and built by a guy who specializes in building studios for a long time called George Augsburger. Augsburger. I almost want to say Asperger, but that's not it, right? It's not Asperger.
Yeah, although that might be an apt description. But
I hear that about. Like,
he's a great guy, though.
Yeah. Recent credits include Pink's latest single called A Million Dreams, Jesse J's new album This Christmas Day, Ralph Breaks the Internet, which was number one on the opening weekend, and The Simpsons. I interviewed Andrew, as I said, early last year on Everyone Loves Guitar. His new record, it's a really kick-ass album called Second Story. It's got 9 tracks on it, and I wanted to turn you on to it. Let me just tell you the first thing when I heard it. This is what I thought to myself. Why is the best funk music I've heard in years being produced by a white session player in LA? So with that backdrop, it's a freaking great record. So, man, thanks for coming on the show. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, man. Thanks so much for having me, Greg.
So what made you make this record? Number one, it's not easy making a record nowadays. Number two, session players rarely put out records. So I was curious what your motivation was.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's something I kind of always had on my radar, something I always wanted to do. But when I moved to LA, really my number one goal was to be a session player. So I sort of put all my eggs in that basket. Hmm. And then gradually, this kind of, you know, it's naturally happened on its own. One of the things that happened is I played a gig last year, finally, under my own name at the Big Potato.
That's right.
And, actually, one of my true heroes was in the audience, George Deering, and we've talked about him before on the show.
Yeah,
and he was like, "Man, you guys, you should just go record this now. Just like go in the studio. You already rehearsed." And I thought, "Man, if George is telling me I should do this, then maybe I should." And he was right. So we went into the studio a few weeks later, and you know, we were already kind of well rehearsed from doing the gig, and cut the whole thing in about 6 hours.
The whole record?
Yeah, I had one song already recorded that I did here at my place. But yeah, the rest of it was done in like a double session.
That's wonderful, man. Awesome. That's right. You guys measure everything in sessions. It's a double session.
Yeah, it's hard to turn that muscle off sometimes.
Yeah, I get it, man. How long have you been in LA now?
Almost 15 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've done and I know you're super modest and don't like to talk about yourself, but you've done great. Because, I mean, 15 years is a long time, but it's not a long time.
And you, right. Oh, completely.
Yeah.
I'm still a baby when it comes, you know, you think of, like, I mean, like Dean Parks, I ran into him in the hallway the other day. He's still working. You know? Yeah. It's like, well, why should I ever for work?
Right.
So, but, yeah, I mean, one of the other things is, like, it seems like session players tend to either, like, they'll do a record. There's like, oh, there's a country song and a metal song and a jazz song. And
yes.
It's more of like a calling card than a.
It's a business card. You know? No, it's a business card.
Yeah, which is totally cool. But I wanted to do something that, you know, felt more authentic to me, I guess, whatever that means. But wouldn't just totally be like a, you know, guitar record for guitar nerds only.
It was a great, the songs are really well written. This is not a guitar record at all. I mean, it's great. I mean, some great guitar playing on there, but it's part of the song. It's not like, you know, it's not like listening to Blow by Blow or something like that. You know, it's a cool. Great, really great music. And I'll tell you what was, especially on the first track, and we'll talk about it, that B3, that is an explosion there, man.
Yeah. Yeah. That's my buddy, Fred Crone. He's amazing.
Ah, killer player. So I asked you if you're going to tour for this or play some gigs, and you said maybe, but probably not, just because of the because this is all guitar players listening and they're all going through the same thing. So it might not be.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to start playing around town a little more as I can, but you know, as we discussed, it's so time consuming just to schedule everything and coordinate, you know, but it's fun. It's worth it. You know, you got to do it.
Do any of the songs have a particular significance, and was there like any theme or message overall that you were trying to?
Not really. And I got to say, like, one of the things that I always have loved about instrumental music is that there's no like overt message.
Yeah.
Barely. Yeah. I feel like these days you're constantly bombarded with people telling you what to do,
who's voting, who to vote for, who not to vote for, why this person's lying, why that person's telling the truth. It's fucking ridiculous. It's obscene.
So I just, in a way, it's almost like instrumental music can sort of be an escape from that, you know, like just, what's the old expression? Like turn on, tune in, drop out.
Yeah, drop out, man. I hear you. This is a great record for that. Really was.
Cool. Thanks. Yeah.
You had a bunch of special guests on the record. You want to talk about some of them?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of feel like everybody was a special guest, but I mean, certainly I had Tim Pierce join me on guitar, and anyone listening to this podcast would hopefully know who he is.
Yes.
He's kind of a legendary studio guitar player. And we had been talking about doing something for a while, and, you know, this gig came up that sparked this whole project, and I thought, man, Tim would be the perfect guy. So I sort of, I called his bluff. I was like, all right, I got something for us to do, you know?
Great.
And, sure enough, you know, he showed up, and at first he was going to play on maybe like one song per set. And then once he saw the material, he got really excited about it and, ended up playing the whole gig with us.
That's really cool. It is great material. It really is. I'm not just blowing smoke. I really, really enjoyed the record. It was very well written, very well done. And for somebody that you're not sitting there writing music all the time, that's even more impressive, you know, because it's kind of like that's in theory, that's not your strong suit, but in practice it obviously is.
Well, I mean, I spent so many years doing that, like in music school. And then, you know, it's a muscle that you sort of, you either use it or lose it. So I didn't want it to just kind of go by the wayside. So, you know, over the last few years, just whenever I have time, I've been, it's like anybody asks, you pick up the guitar, you're practicing, you go, oh, that's kind of cool. I should put that aside and turn that into something.
As far as like music you like to listen to or play, is this a fairly good representation? Because it's pretty consistent as far as it's funk. You know, there's some jazz overtones in there, but it's like funk primarily, and I don't even know, rock, funk, and maybe fusion. I don't even know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that I have like one true musical love, but it's definitely representative of the stuff that really hit me in those like pivotal teenage years, you know? I mean, I mentioned the Dixie Dregs before, that kind of stuff. Sort of like fusion before it came so codified.
Yeah, yeah.
Before like really bad keyboard sounds and unlistenable.
Yeah.
You know, guitar playing. So.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that was cool is that, every song pretty much grooved. So even if, you know, no matter what kind of genre it was, there was a groove in every song. And that is really cool to hear. Cause you don't, I mean, I don't hear a lot of that stuff now.
Yeah. Thanks. Well, I mean, I definitely wanted to get back to that kind of era where, like, you know, it almost like this would be like a Bill Graham Presents.
Yeah. Record, totally. You know,
where there'd be like a comedian and then a folk act and then Jimi Hendrix. Or you know, people pay for everything.
Yeah.
And it wasn't so much like everything must fit into this box.
You know? Yes. Yeah. You did a good job. Who, anybody else on the record that you wanted to
mention?
Yeah.
So I mentioned my buddy Fred Krohn, is playing keys, and he's mostly a composer. So he sits behind the keyboard all day, just cranking out awesome music. And one of the things I wanted to do was he only played either Rhodes or, you know, Hammond organ, and to kind of keep it from getting too abstract in terms of the sounds, you know, like really grounded and kind of earthy.
It was. Yeah.
Sean Hurley is on bass, and he spent many years with John Mayer, and now he's kind of in town doing a lot of producing. And again, like, he's a super badass bass player, but he's not known for, like, he's more known for just playing, you know, real simple musical stuff.
Sure.
So that was part of my idea with, like, not wanting to take it too out, you know. And then following on that theme, I have two simultaneous drummers, you know, a la like the Allman Brothers. And so one of them is Blair Senta. He's a little bit more in the pop world. He's worked with like Chris Cornell and Alanis Morissette. And then the other drummer is Jake Reed. And he's like a younger guy that's kind of real active in the creative music community. And the two of them really have like a really cool like yin yang thing happening.
I didn't realize that. So you had two, every song had two drummers.
Yeah, all but the last track, which is the one that we cut here. That's just one drummer.
That's
but
really cool.
Everything else has two drummers. And it's, yeah, man. I mean, again, you hire good guys and then you go, hey, make this cool. And they do, you know.
That must have been really fun for you as a leader to have like two drummers there.
Oh, completely. And actually, and one of the things that Blair does that's kind of unique is he puts these contact microphones on his drums and then runs that mic through like guitar pedals into a guitar. So a lot of the weird stuff where you're like, oh, that sounds like a loop or production. That's not, it's all happening live.
That's really cool, man. Yeah. Awesome. Very cool, man.
And then the producer is John Paterno, who, he's a guy whose name I've known for a while. And, somebody I've always wanted to work with. He's worked with like Robin Ford and Mike Landau, Steve Gadd, and a bunch of other, you know, great artists. And he was the natural choice and he was available. And, you know, to my delight, he said yes. So he was great to have behind the board.
That's really cool, man. Again, you did the playing is excellent, but you did a really good job songwriting. I just had a couple of questions on some of the specific songs. The title song, Second Story, I felt it was kind of like Steely Dan meets Jeff Beck from a writing standpoint. I was wondering if there's any backstory to that.
Not really, other than I was definitely trying to kind of bridge two worlds of sort of that classic rock blues guitar thing where it's just loose and free. And I mean, it's all over like an E7 sharp 9 chord, but then there's this other section that, like you said, it's sort of Steely Dan-ish. The harmony is like, you know, New York in the 70s or whatever. Hmm. And just sort of try to find a place where those two worlds could meet. Cause that's kind of, again, like I want it to be authentic to what I, you know, what I grew up on. So
it's gotta be impossible to avoid, to be an LA session player and ever avoid Steely Dan's like influence, I would imagine. No.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think a lot of the music today is sort of like, although it's already changing again, but for a while it seemed like almost like anti Steely Dan.
No, I mean, like within
like
your in your
stuff,
community.
You know, it's like super, everything sounds broken, which is cool, you know, but like almost like a complete 180. So, and I enjoy both those sounds. For sure. So.
No, I meant in the community of players. it's impossible to avoid, like, the Steely Dan thing.
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah. I mean, why would you want to?
Right, right. But I mean, it's just there's such a force and so many guys out there worked on, top guys worked on the greatest stuff. You just said something a second. I wanted to address that. You said, or ask you a question about it, really. You said the music's been changing and now it's changing again. What are you seeing now?
Well, like for latest? Guitar tones, for a while it was like chorus was a bad, like you could never ever use chorus. But now, like, it's like okay again to use chorus on a guitar. And it's fun. It's really generational too, because I noticed guys I work for who are a little older than me, they're still in the like, oh no, chorus is bad phase. But then people that are younger than me are like, oh dude, put chorus on it.
Like, that's funny.
So it's like continually like a cyclical thing, you know?
So if you work with someone that was in their late 60s, early 70s, they'd probably be okay with chorus.
Exactly, yeah.
Wow, that's funny how that works. Then you have a song on there called One of a Kind. It was a really pretty ballad, and it wasn't exactly like this, but it sort of reminded me of like, you know, a classic Irish Danny Boy type ballads. Again, the music wasn't like that, but it just very pretty like that. And I was curious, and also I had a question, is that in 12/8?
It could be. I think I wrote it in 3, but it's all the same.
Tell me,
math wasn't my best subject.
That's all good.
But yeah, thanks. I wrote that song when I originally did the gig. I was thinking about, I thought it might be cool to have like a different guitar guest on every song. But then like the reality of that just kind of set in
logistically.
Like, yeah, exactly. But one of the guys, I thought, oh, I should have George come up and play a mandolin, you know, solo. So I thought, well, let me write something for him that would be, you know, fun and easy to play on and you know, kind of conducive to that and sort of capture that. And I wrote it for him. So the title is actually for him.
Oh, that's very nice, man.
Yeah.
Really cool. Does he know that?
I don't think so.
Dude, you got to tell him. That's a real nice thing. He'll be flattered. Or if you're too bashful, say, hey, I have something to tell you. It's around 15, maybe 16 minutes into this. That's really cool, man.
One of a kind, man.
Yeah, man. You got to tell him that. That's a very nice thing. Someone who writes a song for you. Shit, that's a really nice thing. What did you play? Like, what guitars and amps did you personally use throughout most of this?
Yeah, I only used my one, my favorite guitar, my Gibson. Well, it's a fake Gibson. We've talked about that.
Yeah,
it's a Les Paul. And really, the idea behind using just that one guitar was kind of like they call it like the one decision that removes a thousand other decisions.
Yes, that's really.
Because I was a little bit worried that the music was too diverse and wouldn't kind of all sound like it was coming from the same place. So I thought, well, again, like if the keyboard sounds are only those two sounds, you know, like the actual analog Rhodes and Hammond. And then if I only use that one guitar and then augment it with pedals and stuff, it's also one less thing for me to think about in the 6 hours I had to do everything.
Which is really important. When it comes down to it. Yeah. And less stress. Yeah. It's so much easier. You got enough shit to manage when you're.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's good. Smart thinking. Yeah. And what were you playing out of?
And then I used two Rivera amps in stereo. So they're heads. And then one head went into an old Marshall 412 I have. And the other head went into an open back 112 cabinet. And they're both on all the time. But because the cabinets are so different, they sort of accentuate different frequencies, and it's almost like a piano where the stereo image moves a little bit as you play it, you know, low to high. A similar thing happens when you use that setup on an electric guitar. So they sort of complement each other. The frequencies kind of fill each other out.
What did you learn anything from doing this project, either about the music or about yourself?
Oh man, so much.
Awesome. Tell me.
Yeah. It's I don't even know where to start. You know, just about being a leader and getting good performances out of everybody and also putting your trust in a producer, you know, to just say, yeah, we got it, let's move on. It's interesting because I'm always the sideman and
right.
It's interesting to note like the different energy that certain musicians bring to the table. Like the guys that are always like excited, man, that's just, it's worth its weight in gold, you know, like when it's midnight and they're like, come on, let's do another take. We can top it. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, the guy that is looking at his watch, like,
oh, so do you think that would change you? I'm not saying you're not excited, but do you think you have more of an awareness now that when it is 12 o'clock that, hey man, I got to just give a little, make sure I'm on it there.
Absolutely.
That's really cool.
It's one of those things you can't really understand until you're experiencing it from the other side, you know, the glass, as it were.
Yeah. Very cool. Like being pregnant. That's really cool. So being a leader, trusting a producer, anything else?
Well, it's forced me to be a little bit more active on social media, which is not something I really enjoy or, or value, but you know, it's like, well, I did a record. Do I want anyone to hear it? Yes. Well, yeah. If I get out there and promote it, then hopefully more people will hear it. So
awesome.
And forced me to come out of my shell a little bit in that way.
Well, that's a good thing too. That's always a good thing.
Yeah, maybe.
It's always a good thing, man. Trust me. And along those lines, you've got some videos that you've made of the making of Second Story, correct?
Yeah, I do. Again, it shows my my complete ignorance in terms of what's important these days, but it was sort of an afterthought. You know, I told Tim, I was like, yeah, man, have your guy come and film the whole thing. So it's not like a super produced thing, but it's, you know, you can literally, it's just a guy with a camera, and then there's a couple of stationary cameras, and you can see us recording these songs in real time.
That's great. No, I think that's very important. And from a marketing standpoint, that is really compelling for people to get interested in your music, to be honest with you.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. They're watching how things are put together and they're seeing things. Listeners don't get to see a studio.
Right.
How it's made. So, and it's genuinely very interesting. So I think that was a good move. Hey man. So I know a lot of big guitar players have checked out your record, and it was really cool what you said about Steve Vai. You want to share that story if you can?
Yeah, it was amazing. I was able to get him an advanced copy, and he was just so sweet and kind. Man, he wrote me back the nicest letter, you know, praising the record, and it was like it could have been almost the liner notes. You know, he went song by song, like, oh, this reminds me of this, you know, harmony I used to play back in my Berkeley days, although, you know, you guys are really taking it to a new place. And I mean, like, each song was just like, I mean, I should really, like, you know, hang it on my wall or something.
Put it on your website. Put it on the website of Second Story.
Nah, it just feels kind of like weird to do that. I don't want to, like,
you don't want to sell any more copies. I get it. That's really cool that he did that, though.
Yeah, it was really nice. I mean, for a guy like that to take the time out of his day, you know, it really means a lot.
That's
really
cool. Not being funny or anything, it's not surprising. It's a really interesting record, and it's great music, man. It's very, very cool. So I'm not surprised he did that. So, well, that's awesome, man. And all right. Well, thanks.
Cool. Thank you.
So let me tell you where you could find that. Go to Andrew's YouTube channel. Just it's his name, Andrew Sinewick. Again, I'll spell it for you. Get your pen out. All right, good. Sinewick, Synowiec. Andrew Sinewick. And also the record is available to stream everywhere and buy everywhere. CD Baby. Is there a place where it's more advantageous to you to buy it? Because I would like to recommend that, like financially.
Maybe iTunes or... Probably iTunes or CD Baby, I think.
Okay, so go to CD Baby or iTunes to buy it. Actually, I know CD Baby's more. That's what everybody tells me.
Cool.
CD Baby pays more. Everybody know that. So if you want to buy the record, go to CD Baby to buy it. And Andrew's really good if you want to shoot him an email or chat with him. He's totally cool about responding. And you can do that on his and follow him on social media. His Instagram is, again, Andrew Sinewick, and his Facebook is, oddly enough, Andrew Sinewick. And the name of the record is Second Story. It's really, really a cool record. I'm not just saying that because he's a friend of mine and a friend of the show. It's a great record, really great funk music. It's very cool. If you like any kind of instrumental music, you'll love this record. Guaranteed. Anything else, bud?
No, thanks so much for having me on the show, Craig.
Oh, you're welcome. So what's the what's next in the upcoming schedule for you in general?
You know, just playing sessions and trying to keep everything going, you know.
Any interesting sessions coming up that you could talk about?
I'm terrible with this.
Ladies and gentlemen, here you have it, literally the worst marketer in the world. But he's a
I don't know if I can say that. I'm doing a big movie next week, but I don't, it's like,
it's
I don't know. I never know what I'm allowed to say or whatever. So
no, I don't think you're allowed to say actually anything anymore, because you, no matter what you say about any topic, you're going to get in trouble. So like, yeah. I was on a call yesterday with a really nice woman, just so freaking cool. And like there's three or four things in a row. She said, I have a bunch of, it was a very ethnic band. It was really cool. She goes, not that I mind not having ethnic band. I'm like, this is crazy. Like, you got to like even think about saying that. Like someone out there said, oh, she likes ethnic people. She's obviously hates whites. Like, it was just crazy, man. Like, so I think everything you say, so just assume nothing is going to make anybody happy and say, fuck it, and just say whatever the hell you want. That's, I don't know. Maybe that's living dangerously. Anyway, man, I wish you a lot of luck with the record. It's really good. I hope it does well. And I hope you get to play it out. And I would certainly love to see it. And if you tour here, man, there's a lot of people.
Yeah, well, I'd love to.
And if anybody wants to put Andrew on a tour, call him, hook him up, and message him through his Facebook or Instagram. Again, it's Andrew Sinowiec, Sinowiec. Dude, thanks very much. I really enjoyed the record. I hope it's a big success for you. I'm really happy.
Thanks so much, Craig. I appreciate you having me on.
You're welcome. Anytime. Everybody, thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this, share it with a friend on your social media channels. We appreciate your support with this. Thanks very much to Andrew Sinowiec for spending time with us. Please support his music and check him out. The name of the record is Second Story. If you like good instrumental, good funk, good jazz, just great rock record, man. Check it out. Make sure you go to everyonelovesguitar.com. Sign up to get on our newsletter list so you and I can connect. And most important, remember that happiness is a choice, so choose wisely. Be nice, go play your guitar, and have fun. Till next time, peace and love, everybody. I'm out. We hope you enjoyed this show. If you did, subscribe to the Everyone Loves Guitar podcast, and you can do this online at everyonelovesguitar.com or on iTunes. And if you like the show, please leave us a 5-star positive review. The more 5-star reviews we get, the higher our show ranks, and higher rankings mean we get to continue speaking with cool, interesting guests on our show. We'll see you on the next episode, and until then, keep playing your guitar and have fun making music.